What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
But if we're repeating, I got to worry. What's next? Then your brain is just saying, it's just doing what it thinks you want, which is, okay, to feel safe, I need to worry. Got it. And now that's on autopilot now, because now it's in your subconscious mind. So There's actually not much choice in the worry, because It's now on autopilot and now just fires.
Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. Hey, what's up, my friends? Welcome back to the show. Super appreciate you coming and hanging out with me today. Got a really good one for you today. Today's episode is going to blow your mind. How often do you worry about your business? How much time do you spend feeling anxious about your business and worrying about, you know, is this going to continue? Is this all going to go away? How do I grow my business without stressing myself out? Well, for me, stress and anxiety is something that I've struggled with since I can pin it back to about seventh grade. And I'm sure it happened before that, but that's really when I have some real clarity around when my worry and anxiety really picked up in my life. And it's continued. It's kind of been like a roller coaster throughout my entire life. And it's something that I work a lot on. And I'm fascinated by this whole topic of mindset. And if you've been listening to the podcast here for a while, you know that I talk a lot about mindset. In my experience as a business owner for the past 6 years, I really think that the vast majority of your business success, of my business success, or non-success for that matter, is directly related to mindset. And it's something, as I mentioned, I've become fascinated with and studying and learning more about. And how do I teach this to all of you so that you can master your mindset to grow your business? And this is why I invited my friend Dr. Shannon Irvine onto the podcast here today to teach you how to train your brain to transform your business. Okay. This might sound a little bit woo-woo or out there a little bit, but Shannon is not only an entrepreneur, but she's a PhD in neuropsychology. Okay. And so she teaches what you're going to be hearing today from a proven scientific model of what's actually going on in the brain. And she teaches entrepreneurs how to maximize and leverage the power of your brain to create the business and the life that you want. I love this topic. I could talk. I mean, I told Shannon we could talk about it for hours, but we go about an hour or so today. A really, really amazing episode. Not just telling you that because you're listening to my show, but this is a really good one. We dive into things like how to overcome fear and resistance as a business owner. This is something that comes up all of the time in discussions that I have with online entrepreneurs. fear and resistance as a business owner. Why are we so resistant to growing, to getting coaching? Where's the fear coming from? What kind of limiting beliefs do we have? Right? Shannon shares how to train your brain to transform your business. We talk about what's blocking you from the success that you actually want. We talk about how we are wired and how limiting beliefs are stopping us. This is something that I completely relate to. And she shares a simple fix and how to rewire our brain to overcome and remove those limiting beliefs. She actually includes, she shares four steps of removing limiting beliefs. We talk about a concept that she calls brain priming, what it is and how it can quickly transform your business. And we also talk about this whole concept of wrapping up our worth in our business. And this is something I did for a long time, and frankly, still do from time to time, meaning I'm only as worthy as the success of my business. If my business is failing or if my business isn't doing as well as I want it to, then I'm a failure. No, we are not our business. And so we talk a lot about that today. This is something I hear from many of my Accelerator Mastermind students. And Shannon shares her perspective on this today. Because this is a topic that comes up so much, I really wanted to dive into it here with Shannon. I cannot wait to share this conversation with you here today. Now, before we dive in with Shannon, I wanted to give you a heads up that I'm accepting applications again for the next group of my 6-month Accelerator Mastermind, which kicks off in January. And I've heard a little confusion out there. People are like, is this a Facebook ads mastermind? No, my friends. You know, it's, you know, kind of aligns with that question. Aren't you just the Facebook ads guy, Rick? And this is something I hear all the time. And yes, I'm pretty well known for Facebook and Instagram ads, which I'm very grateful for. But the thing that's easy to overlook is that it's taken way more than just ads for me to build a 7-figure thriving online business. It's taken things like building a team and positioning myself as an expert and creating and launching courses and doing live events and 100% mastering my mindset, like I'm talking about right now, time management. And I could go on and on here. And something I did for a long time, and what I see right now in the marketplace, is most experts teach Facebook and Instagram ads in a vacuum, which means that they're only teaching ads without talking about the other aspects that are needed to growing an impactful online business. But to truly create sustainable growth, it does take a more holistic strategy because it's all connected. Okay, so if you're an online expert, in other words, you're a course creator, you're a coach, you're a consultant, you've already achieved a certain level of success in your business, but you're now spinning your wheels to get to the next level, whether that is to break through 6 figures, multiple 6 figures, even 7 figures, you very likely do not need another course or to read more books. What you need is a cohesive growth strategy, one that combines mindset, authority building, paid and organic traffic, scalable offers, building a team, freeing up your time so that you're not doing all the things, right? Becoming the actual CEO of your business. And to help you with all that, coaching, accountability, community, and support. So if you're at a place in your online business right now as an online expert, and your days are just getting eaten up with busy work, and you cannot see the forest from the trees, and you're doing all the things in your business, and you're wondering why you're stuck, if you're dreaming of having a team that has your back and is committed to growing your business as you are and excels in the areas that you don't, right? If you're looking for answers on Google, on Dr. Google, but, you know, things like what's the best launch strategy for this new program, or how can I get my ad cost down and my ROI up, or who should I hire to help with my team, right? If you are subconsciously sabotaging your own success because of your mindset, which is what we're talking about today, then I want to help you, okay? So if you're ready for coaching, support, community, and accountability and taking your online expert business to the next level, then I want to invite you to apply and schedule your free strategy session to find out if you might be a fit for my Accelerator Mastermind. Again, we kick off in January, 6-month program. Just go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. Okay. All right, my friends, without further ado, let's jump into it and go hang out with Dr. Shannon Irvine. Dr. Shannon Irvine, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm so honored to be here, Rick.
I am psyched to have you here because, like, this is my jam.
Yeah.
I love talking about this stuff. And we're going to get into it here today. We're going to dive into stuff that I think for a lot of people listening right now, this is going to be eye-opening. And this might be one that they have to listen to a couple times to really kind of grasp this stuff because, you know, we can talk tactics and strategies and, you know, do this, do that all day long here in the podcast as we do.
Yeah.
But for everybody listening, you guys know that I love talking the mindset stuff and really growing your online business. The foundation of it is all mindset. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do need to know the tactics and strategies, but we're going to be getting into the mindset stuff here today with Dr. Shannon Irvine here. So tell us, let the art of online business. I know this is for you.
I love it.
You know the show as the art of paid traffic.
Yeah.
And you know, when I saw you recently, we chatted about that. But let everybody know a little bit about you, what you do, and really why this is important to you.
Yeah. So I help entrepreneurs like everybody that's doing an online business. That's why I love this shift in the podcast for you, because you have so much to give to the online world in terms of growing, scaling, and all of that. So your listeners are so lucky that you're going this way. But I help entrepreneurs train their brain to transform their business. And what I mean by that is literally from the inside out, help you understand how you're wired, what is actually blocking you from the success that you want. And it's not the strategy. It's not that, you know, we see that all the time, right? It's like, well, the next, you know, sexy thing out there. But the reality is, our good friend Amy Porterfield, you know, has multiple seven-figure launches with webinars. And then webinars, you'll see somebody launch and launch and launch and not do well. So it's not the webinar, right? It's the person operating the webinar. And so, you know, that's really my jam, is really helping people understand how you're wired, how limiting beliefs or automatic negative thoughts are literally stopping you from the things that you want to do. And the fact that your brain is wired in a way that it is actually very simple to remove them and to build a success pathway in your brain that will bring to you what you want. So we can kind of stop the, you know, big treadmill of hustle, strive, and putting our worth in connection to our business. And that's definitely what got me started in this whole thing. I was fairly successful. Anybody looking into my business would have said, oh, she's crushing it, right? But I had stress success. I constantly worried. I was constantly in this high state of anxiety. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. So I'm a, you know, jump from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, because I love achievement. And I found my whole identity was like massively wrapped up in what I was producing in the world, not in and of myself. And that's what got me going on this whole science side of the woo.
But you had a very successful offline, quote unquote, business, right? Yeah. And you built that up. And then what was the shift into the online world, if you will?
Yeah, so I did. I was very fortunate where I was... I had owned restaurants early on in my early 20s and did really, really well with them. And when I transitioned out of the brick and mortar space, I was asked to consult with mostly restaurant people, and word of mouth spread. And I really got to the point where I was charging about $50,000 a year per person to help them grow and scale their business. And I loved what I did. And I also, at that time, was running a nonprofit that I still run that's 15 years old now, that we help kids who have lost mom and dad to AIDS in Uganda. And so that's what I was doing offline. And the more clients I took, I love the transformations I was getting, right? That lights me up.
Sure.
But, you know, you're trading massive time for dollars. And my vision started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like the idea of, once I really shifted over and started learning the neuroscience of success and started applying it first to me, I neurohacked myself and realized, like, this actually works. Like, you really can prune away old beliefs that are holding you back. You really can build a pathway in your brain that allows success to come more easily and effortlessly to you. Then I started applying it to my coaching clients, and their businesses started just taking off. And I knew I was onto something. I knew, like, this really does work, and got the vision to really help as many entrepreneurs as I can. And I knew I needed to bring it online to do that.
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainers, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit. It's a 3-day free, 100% free summit, and it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode.
I'm listening to you and I'm like, holy cow, where do I start? Because there's so many things, and I'm going to be asking a lot of selfish questions as well.
Please.
But I know that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I go through and frankly I don't really talk a ton about, and I'm starting to talk more about it, but you know, I haven't been shy in sharing that I have struggled with anxiety and worry since I can kind of date it back to 7th grade, whatever age that was for me, or not for whatever, not just for me, but whatever 7th grade age is, it's been that way. Like, it's been a sort of a roller coaster up and down my entire life. And frankly, when I went out on my own 6 years ago to do my own business, I noticed an uptick in the stress and anxiety, and, you know, having a daughter less than a year ago, that added a whole other element to it for me. And, yeah. I've been really working on it for a few years now. And it's so much better than it used to be. And I have a lot of tools and all that stuff, but like most people, I still experience it. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to kind of dive into, let's start with the worth, you know, having your worth wrapped up into your business. That's something that I went through and I became very aware of it, that, you know, I was only as good, if you will, quote unquote, as my last launch, or, you know what, this launch was a huge success, so I'm a success, or this launch didn't go as well, so I'm a failure, or I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about that in your own experience. And then also sort of if people are feeling that way now, which I know a ton of listeners do feel that on a regular basis. And, you know, I have this conversation with my Accelerator Mastermind students where I kind of give the sort of, I think it's a metaphor, like picture your business sitting next to you in the chair next to you. And that's your business over there, right? It's not you and you know how you are wrapped up into it, but talk a little bit about, let's dive into this topic here.
Now, I love this, Rick, because that's exactly what happens. And I love that you can pinpoint it, that it was like around seventh grade or whatever, because the reality is your brain isn't wired to make you successful. And that's what I really want people to hear. It can be if you take it off autopilot, but an autopilot brain, one that you're just going and reacting with, is not set up to keep you successful. It's set up to keep you safe and familiar. Like, don't it get eaten by the tiger and be able to survive? Like, think that kind of safe and familiar. And then we go out and do this thing called entrepreneurship, which to your brain, not to your heart, but to your brain, is like the biggest tiger that could ever live. Like, it's like risky. You don't know what's going to happen. In fact, to be successful, you have to go from failure to failure to failure. And so your brain, it's like this toddler, right? That's just out near the candy aisle and is kicking and screaming and going, what are you doing? And on top of that, you know, somewhere, wherever it is for us, for you is around seventh grade, where we adapt, right? We're very adaptable. Our brain's very adaptable. So somewhere along there, we decide, in order for me to be safe and for things to be familiar, I will cope in a certain way. Well, we do that as a child, and we don't realize we go into an adulthood, into our business, with that same kind of safety release valve going on in our brain. And so for me, it was, there was kind of chaos going on at home. So I knew if I did the best that I could, if I was always on top, if I was always producing, if I was always on stage, if I was always in front of the class, like that kind of thing, then I could kind of control my world. So for my like 7, 8, 9 year old brain said, okay, therefore your performance, your worth in the world is tied to what you do, not tied to who you are. Yeah. And my brain said, that's safe and familiar. And then I took that into my online world and offline world. And I didn't really even recognize it. And you came to it a lot quicker than I did. I didn't recognize it until I was pregnant with my son. He's now 11. And that's what got me going this whole direction, because I remember having this weird moment, ugly cry mascara moment kind of thing, where I was laying on my bed and I'm like so happy because all I wanted to do was be a mom, and I was pregnant and I was laying there. And like, full disclosure, I'm not proud of this moment, but I need to share it. Like, I was laying on the bed going, this, I've wanted this all my life. But it was like an identity crisis, because I'm like, I'm going to have to let something go. And if I let one of my businesses go, then I have no value. Like, my mind was spinning. It was like, okay, well, and it was this weird either or conversation I was having. It can't be all, it has to be either or. And luckily I just had one of those moments. I call it a God moment, but it was just like where I thought, what if it can be, and like, is there any evidence that it can be both? And I didn't know anything but performing for my identity. And I didn't even recognize that's what it was. Later, I figured that out. But as I started thinking about a mentor, somebody that I knew that looked like they had it all together, right? And your brain's always looking for that evidence. If you can find evidence to the contrary, then maybe it's not true all the time. So I'm like, fine. And I spent a stupid amount of money to go mentor with her. And honestly, the whole time trying to disprove that it was true, like my brain was like, yeah, you'll probably find that she's like mean to her kids, or you'll probably find out that somebody else is running her business, like the whole time. But in that time that I was with her, it had nothing to do with her strategies. It had nothing. I mean, yes, she had great strategies, but it had nothing to do with that. She just thought differently than I did. She showed up differently. She thought about other people differently, and she did not have her work and her worth confused.
Yeah.
And as I started thinking about, like, wow, okay, and trying to mirror how she thought, the more I got interested in, why is her brain different than my brain? Like, originally, like, why did that happen that way? And then started studying neuroscience and Most people are like, oh, you're really smart and you went and got your doctorate. No. I was desperate. I'm like, I need to like figure it out. I was still in the doing, right? So I wanted to figure it out. But I'm really glad that I did it, because I was sitting in rooms with brilliant scientists over here talking about neuroplasticity and the fact that you can completely rewire your brain, and over here talking about neurochemicals and how they interact with that. And none of these scientists actually talk to each other, nor did they want to. But as an entrepreneur, I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, like this stuff, if this is true, then every entrepreneur needs to know this, especially me. And I just started applying it and hacking myself. And then it really is a simple system that our brain uses to protect us, to automate what we believe. And we can talk about what that means. Mm-hmm. And then to create our reality. Our brain really doesn't know the difference between what's real and what we vividly imagine. And I learned and got to do research with some of the most amazing cutting edge neuroscientists in that realm, which has shifted everything really for me.
So you mentioned, I'm thinking about kind of a breakthrough that I had. You mentioned something to this effect a minute ago, talking about, well, what I realized. And logically, as I think about this, it's like, it makes zero sense, yeah. Right? But this is what my brain does.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to realize this. And I want to say I realized it the middle of last year. So the middle of three quarters of the way through 2018 was that I equated worry and anxiety with control.
Yes.
That if I'm not worrying about the business, if I'm not anxious about the business, then it's out of control, that it's not going to grow. It's not going to move forward.
Yeah.
And like, frankly, to be completely honest, I'm still working through that, but there's definitely an awareness around that. Where does that come from? What's the deal with that?
Yeah. So the control, this whole locus of control thing. And I call them brain safety release valves. Your brain wants to get back to that safe and familiar, right? So there's a bunch of different things. If you're prone to fight, the fight or flight kind of response, we tend to be warriors or more anxious, that kind of energy, because yeah. We're trying to control. We're trying to make it fit the model that we want it to. The flip side of that and is the procrastination. I just will do it later. I won't worry about it. And perfectionism is in there too. But it's those are all ways. Those are actually coping mechanisms that the brain uses actually to get you back to what your brain perceives as what you believe, which is the fact that you need to stay anxious to be in control.
Yeah.
So it's this weird self-fulfilling prophecy, and how it comes about, you know, when you're in seventh grade or whatever, when you made that agreement, right? We make this agreement and we don't realize it as adults. We actually get to choose what we decide to automate in our brain and what we don't. Most people never question it and go through their entire lives and just say, that's just the way I am. No, you are the creator of your thoughts, and your thoughts actually create what gets stored in your subconscious mind. And so, you know, as I think like a child, right? Or seventh, eighth, 9 year old child, I was like, perform, perform, perform. Oh, this feels good. And you get all those neurochemicals that gives you confirmation. Nobody's freaking out at home. This feels safe. And now all of a sudden I'm on that performance hamster wheel. For you, it's like, I've got to control, anxious. Let's be anxious. Let's think. Yeah. Don't let the mind be quiet. But once you realize that all that is, what is it? Abraham Hicks says, all a belief is a thought repeated over and over and over again. Well, to even take that one step forward, is all your subconscious is, although it controls 80 to 90% of what you do and your actions that you take, all it is what you've thought repeatedly over time. And now you believe, and your subconscious goes, oh, he believes it. Okay. Let me automate it.
Automate it in our actions,
yeah,
in our thinking as well.
Yeah, because your brain, not to get a little nerdy on you, but your brain uses 80% of the glucose that you consume. Mm-hmm. So your brain's whole job is to be super efficient. And that's the whole purpose. There's debate on this, but this is the purpose of the subconscious, is so that what you truly do believe, you don't have to actually use that extra energy to automatically do it. It just, you know, fires together, wires together. So as you continue to repeat, now, if we just have a random thought, in a random emotion that comes from that thought, that doesn't automate. That's just, you know, the sky's blue. Okay. You know, it doesn't, it's not something that you're repeating. But if we're repeating, I got to worry, what's next, then your brain is just saying, it's just doing what it thinks you want, which is, okay, to feel safe, I need to worry. Got it. And now that's on autopilot now, because now it's in your subconscious mind. So there's actually not much choice in the worry, because it's now on autopilot and now just fires. And the great news, though, is that in about 67 days, if you go through a process of like literally taking that thinking off autopilot and replacing it, you can have a completely new program subconscious, give or take.
I want to dive into that for sure. But I want to kind of, before we do that, because I feel like that process, whatever that is that you're talking about, I think can address so many of these issues and challenges that come up from a mindset perspective and the way that our brain is working. Two things specifically I see a lot of in online business owners, entrepreneurs in general.
Yeah.
And this comes up a lot, frankly, in my Accelerator Mastermind discussions with my students, is that two things. They have this fear and resistance around growth, around new ideas for that can help them. You know, whether it's a new mindset, whether it's a, you know, if we're getting tactical, whether it's a tip or strategy or whatever it is, there's this fear and resistance around that. About taking the next step or allowing, you know, frankly, being coachable, you know, on a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And I think very closely tied into that is this whole arguing for your limitations. And I know that I've been there in the past where it's like, no, but it's this way, or no, that's not, you know, like I do it this way. And they're not, you know, and it's not just them. Like it's, I hear this all the time, but we're arguing for where we're at right now and not open to other ideas for expansion, if that makes sense. Can you kind of talk to that a little bit?
Absolutely. It is probably the biggest challenge for entrepreneurs because we can't see where we want to be yet. And so we base all of our thoughts and decisions based on what we know and what is programmed in the subconscious to be safe. So we're now looking at a risk or something that is different or something that is not comfortable. And we equate any level of resistance with not being good. So that is the one thing that I would love to shift for all entrepreneurs.
Repeat that again.
That resistance, they're looking at it as it's something that isn't good. And in truth, resistance, the only thing resistance is, like from a pure scientific point, you're feeling resistance because something doesn't align with what's malprogrammed in your subconscious. So here, Rick is saying, this is going to be a strategy or a process or a mindset that'll work. So let's try this on. And they've never tried it on before. And all of a sudden, all this resistance and your brain's doing what it's supposed to do, right? It's saying, well, that doesn't align with I'm not enough. That doesn't align with I need to be worried. That doesn't align with I need to be procrastinating. So we feel this tension or the stress or this resistance. Now, to me, when I feel that, and I coach my entrepreneurs through this, like resistance is like your best friend. It is the quickest way you can transform your life and your business, because it's in that resistance that you actually can hear your subconscious program. It's in that resistance that if you slow down to speed up a little bit, right? Yeah. And if you just sit with it and say, what am I saying to myself? Like, what is this? Why am I resisting this? Your brain has to answer. It has this open loop thing. So if you're posing that question and you're slowing down in the resistance, you're actually going to be able to hear yourself saying, well, I don't think that I'm good enough.
Yeah.
Bingo. Now I know what it is that's programmed. Now I can do something about it. And I'll hear people say this all the time. They'll say like, but Shannon, like Tony Robbins says, like what you focus on grows, like don't do that.
Right.
No, listen to me. Listen to me, Susan. Like right now you're an entrepreneur. I don't have to tell you to put your foot on the gas. Your foot's on the gas. And there's no doubt. Like that's how we're wired, right? But your foot's on the brake too. And you're asking why you're going in circles and can't get anywhere. And in reality, it's you don't have a gas problem. You have a brake problem. And without removing those programs that voice that says you're not enough or you're not expert enough or nobody's going to listen or I should go live but or should start a podcast, but who's going to listen to me? But we don't actually verbalize that. We just say, oh, no, Rick, that doesn't work. I tried it. It doesn't work. Right. And so we want to get back to that feeling of comfort.
Yeah.
But comfort is the antithesis of success. So it's in that resistance that I would encourage you, if you're in that space, to lean into it, because that's when you actually can hear those things that literally are stopping you from the greatness that you have inside of you. And they're not 30 of them. There's not, I've never seen somebody have more than like one to two.
One to two of what?
A core belief that's stopping them. Yeah. So once we dive in, once we start to really unwire and like hear it and start to get rid of it, there might be like, you know, different, I call them tentacles or different iterations of the same story, but it really is that one story. So once we go after it, and I say the word story because that's what it becomes. It feels so true and real, but it's just something we've repeated so often we believe.
What you just said brings up a couple of different things for me, and I'll share both things. And one of them I think can take us down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and that's okay because I think it's super important. But you know, one of those stories for myself is the I'm not enough and I'm not doing enough. And I'm being completely transparent. Like this still comes up for me quite a bit. And you know, like I said, I've done a lot of work to try to figure out where this comes from. And I do go back right somewhere in that seventh grade-ish time in my life where, you know, so I went to a Catholic grade school, second through eighth grade, very small school. I was pretty much with the same kids in my class through second to eighth grade. We're talking class size of like, I don't know, 20, 25, maybe, I don't even think we got to 30, but it was a very small class size. And so I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire. I played baseball, basketball, and soccer growing up. And I was always one of the best kids in town. And I was on all the all-star teams and all this other stuff. And it was awesome. I loved it. And then when I got to high school, I'll never forget, my mom said, do you want to go to the Catholic high school or do you want to go to the public high school, which was in town? The Catholic one was a couple towns over. And I said, you know what, mom, I want to go to the one here in town because that's where all my friends go. So I did. And that was a huge, that was like, I went from, you know, a big fish in a small pond to a very small fish in a big pond, because now my high school had, you know, it's again, small town, but it was like 1300 people. And my class had like 300 people. So I basically 10X the size of my class. And I went out for the same sports that I'd been playing all along. Right.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a starter anymore. I wasn't that quote unquote good for the high school level sports. And and I didn't know at the time, but this is something I look back on now that was like, I think this was part of I'm not good enough, you know, in training my brain into believing that.
Yep.
And then, so that's just an observation as you're talking about that. It's something that I've been able to identify. The other thing, you know, talking about beliefs and the stories that we tell ourselves often comes up when it comes to money.
Yes.
And the money mindset, you know, and I, in New Hampshire, I grew up in a blue collar family. My dad was an auto mechanic. Mm-hmm. My mom, as when I was growing up, was a pediatric nurse and then transitioned completely other side. She was a children's librarian and, you know, it was money doesn't grow on trees. Yep. We can't afford this. And, you know, they obviously did the best they could, but it's something that I've really had to work hard on from that perspective too, right? Of the abundance and all that stuff. Can you kind of speak to that, you know, and the stories that we tell ourselves from a money mindset too? Because a lot of times this comes in the whole concept of like, you know, what do they call it? Like upper limiting ourselves.
Oh yeah.
Like, can you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, I would love to. And we sound like we had the same upbringing. Like money doesn't grow on trees. Or my favorite that I heard a lot was, because we would drive by these like beautiful homes on the way to certain places, and my dad would be like, well, you know, those people.
100%. I didn't even, like totally.
Yep. And it wasn't a good those.
You know exactly.
I mean? Like, and it was just this weird connotation that like, if you have money, you become bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like a bad person. And then you add, and you had Catholic upbringing. Yeah. So you've got that layer, you know, money is, and I talk to a lot of people of faith, you know, money's the root of all evil. It says that nowhere in scripture, like zero places, like find it. Right. I dare you. It says money is the root of all evil. It's a totally different concept. I digress. But think about that. Like, you hear something over and over again, and you're a young person, and you view your parents as truth. There's no guard. There's no filter of, should I question this? Even when you're in high school, like, you still look at them as the ultimate authority. So this constant storytelling that's going on with their broken thoughts about money, and they're doing the best they can, it just literally transfers. And so now you've got a program going, and that's one of my big missions, is to unravel that for entrepreneurs. I do a money mindset event every year and try to really move the archetypes, because it's this thought that, like, we think we should just be able to willpower our way past our money mindset issues. Mm-hmm. Like, if I just, meditate enough, and I'm all for that kind of stuff. So don't get me wrong, but y'all, if you don't get rid of the story that's there, it is literally, you can't outperform your subconscious. You've got to rewire it. And we just are on this autopilot of, I'll just try. Well, we know from neuroscience, willpower allows you about 5% change. Mm. And so 5% is great. So you can move the needle a little bit until the next thing, or till maybe you do have a good launch, right? And then you're ready to, so now I'm at a different level. And if you have Rick in my story, my whole thing was, it was okay to about 200K. Mm. And then as soon as I would come up, like, anywhere close to that, I would do something to, like, make sure that it would not go above 200,000.
Yeah.
And it was not conscious at all. I wouldn't be in integrity to meetings. I wouldn't show up the way I wanted to show up. I would back off on the level of whatever I was doing. Like, it was crazy to me. And then that was all about the same time as I was learning it. And the reality is, the story can be completely rewired, but you got to know what's in there first and recognize that it's not your fault. I think that's the thing. Mm. We think, like, we should have this level of perfection, or we should be able to figure it out. But if you didn't create the stories, you know, it's not your fault that they're there. Now, as somebody who wants to grow a successful business, I'm asked a lot about, like, what is the 5% activity that you do that really pushes the needle? This is the 5%. You know, the way you think and how you show up, your way of being, if you're feeling a resistance, like, I want a six-figure launch, but you feel like money doesn't grow on trees and I can't pay a virtual assistant, you can't produce a result of six figures because your clients will not, your clients will only rise up to your level of belief.
Mm. So how do we get past that?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, because, you know, some of the notes I have here is that we're blocking ourselves from the success that we want.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we often think, and myself included for so long, is that we think that the solution to more growth in our business or a bigger launch or whatever it is outside.
Yes.
We have to, like, go do something or go find something, or, you know, tactics or strategies or whatever.
Yeah.
How do we get past that? How do we reverse that? Because you mentioned a great example before, you know, if somebody like Amy Porterfield, for example, is doing these amazing launches in her business, but yet somebody's, you know, doing the exact same type of launch, but yet nowhere near the type of success. How do we rewire our brains for taking our business to the next level and really transforming the business that we want to create?
So it's a two-pronged approach. So the first is, we got to get the foot off the brake. And that's, I call it my mind matrix process, but it's a process, and I'll break down this process for you. So there's four steps of removing those limiting beliefs. And then it's just a matter of continuing it. And that's where people will stop sometimes. The second side of it, though, is what I call brain priming. It's literally laying down a pathway of belief in your brain so that your brain can recognize what you now as an adult choose to believe. That's, again, taking that thinking off autopilot, right? And being the creator of your thoughts. So both things kind of have to happen at the similar time. Let me, like, hit the limiting belief side of things first, but I definitely want to make sure we talk about the brain priming side, because to me, it's the fun part of it.
Totally.
But it's literally, our brain it's so step by step. It's the way that we wire is so step by step that if you can build Legos or break Legos apart, you literally can do this. Like, that's how simple it is. And I need you to hear that, because a lot of objections will be, oh, I'm sure this is, must be hard. Even the, I'm working on my mindset. No, it's really not difficult. It really is just a process. And just like strategies are just a process, it is literally just a process. And maybe that's why I was drawn to it, because I love, like, give me the steps, you mm-hmm. know? I always joke around that I tell the science about why the woo works, but the steps to kind of start the process, and again, resistance being your best friend. So, like, put yourself in a situation you're not comfortable with. You'll hear them a little faster, but it's four steps. The first step is literally to recognize it. So hear what it is that you're saying to yourself. And again, if you're, you know, only doing things that are safe and familiar, it will be a little bit more challenging to hear it. So I always encourage people, like, the thing that you're scared to death to go do in your business, go do it. And then hear what you're saying to yourself. And I'm real careful here that I don't put labels on it, because none of us walk around saying, I'm an imposter. like, that's not the words. Like, the words are, I don't, you know, who the heck do I think I am? Yeah. Like, you know, so your words, exactly how you're saying it to yourself. The second piece of this rewiring is, once you recognize it, is to record it. Not in a digital device, like literally pen to paper. You write it down exactly like you heard yourself say it to yourself. So I'll use an example, because I think it's a little clearer that way. So before I started the Epic Success podcast, right, I'm going along, I'm getting all ready. This is a few years ago. And I just had this thought come through my mind as I was reaching out to, like, a bigger player in our field and asking him, I think it was you, to come on the podcast. And I was like, you know, like, what value do I have to bring to a podcast? It was just like a quick, you know, that's how they are, right? They're just a quick in and out thought. You can see that, how that's really connected to the original story of, I've got to perform, I've got to be worth it before somebody, you know, validates it. So, but I know better. So I'm like, oh, wait. So I, like, literally stopped what I did. I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote down, I do not have enough value to bring to the podcast, because that's exactly what I heard myself say. So writing it down pulls it to your prefrontal cortex. It pulls it out of the subconscious. That's where we want it. Only long enough to get rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to continue to focus on it, because then it grows. But I don't know about you, Rick, but for me, like, if something's controlling 80 to 90% of my daily actions and decisions, I'd like to choose it.
Yeah, for sure. <You know? laughs> Absolutely.
So there it is. It's on the piece of paper. I don't have enough value to bring to the podcast, or whatever it is that you're saying to yourself. And the third step, which is to refute it, your natural brain will do that. Your adult mind, right? Because the stories come, as we've been talking, kind of from youth or young adulthood, and they kept us safe. So as I read it out loud, and you read it out loud to yourself. So I read, I do not have enough value to bring to the podcast. I'm looking down, like, it's right in front of me right now. It's not, this is where I was doing it. And my mind was like, well, that's stupid. You know, you've done this and you've helped people get to six figures, seven figures, eight figures. You've done this, like, all the stuff, right? So you start writing that down. That's the very left brain logical side of you is going to naturally refute it. And there's going to be a part of you that's going to, as you're writing down all of the obvious truth against the lie of, I don't have enough value to bring, there was a part of me, and there probably will be a part of you too, that's reading it, looking at what you've written, but still feeling like it's true.
Yeah.
I still feeling like, yeah, but do I, like, really? Like, there's this heart. So the head and the heart have to connect, right? And so a little hack that works beautifully is, you pick someone that you love. And we don't play favorites with our kids or our husband or whatever, but for this circumstance, I chose my son, Max. And so what I did, and what I would want you to do, is after your left brain has had a chance to write down why that's not true, I want you to say out loud, not to their face, but out loud, imagine yourself saying whatever lie you had in your subconscious to that person. So
meaning like, Max, you don't have enough value
to bring to the world. And that's exactly. Oof. So imagine saying that to your daughter, right? Yeah. It's like, okay. So here's what happens. we have something called a negativity bias. It helped us not be eaten by tigers back in the day. So we see 9 times more negative than positive. That's why we don't see it so readily. That's why our blind spots are our blind spots. But when you put it on somebody that you would die for, that you love,
yeah,
then immediately that negativity bias is gone. And you know, so the Southern, I'll cut you if you hurt my child, like that mom came out, right? So I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh, you know, and he's this. And I just started all the things that he has value from the moment he was born. He was this, he's that. So I had about a page and a half after that, right? Well, the reality is that's true for you too. That's true for you too.
Yeah. Yeah. So is this an exercise? So you talked about 67 days to really rewire this and make that change. Is this something that you're doing each day?
No.
Okay.
No. So once you go through like the bigger part of the process, so we recognize it, we record it, write it down, we refute it, we need to replace it. Well, the beautiful thing was you just went and replaced it. You've written the truth from your left brain and then from what's probably more true from that heart-centered area.
Yeah.
And then I really encourage my clients and my students to take all of that. And then depending on your best modality for learning, where you're best receiving, for me, I'm more of an auditory visual processor. Mm-hmm. So I record myself saying just the truth. So what your left brain and your right brain. So now you've got this kind of holistic truth of what is true, what you really want your brain to know, not that old belief of not being enough. And it's in the practicing of that. And the best, I listen to it morning, and I encourage my clients morning, subconscious is more available to be rewired. In the evening, depends on how much you want to go after it frequency wise. Right after working out is a good time too. That's why we always have our best ideas right after working out, right?
When
we're in the shower, we don't have any place to write it down. And then when we're in the moment of resistance. So if you're like, it's almost like you can feel the feeling of not enough or whatever is coming on you because you're about to do something, that's a great time to do it too. So you're just really, if you picture, I wish we had like a video I could show you where a network is just like a freeway, right? So that old freeway is very solidly wired together until you start this process. And what this process does, it's almost like an earthquake to that freeway. It just starts jarring it a little bit and it starts loosening up the joints and it just starts making it unstable. And as you continue to repeat it, then little by little, it prunes away. And that's in the scientific geeky words, it's neurosynaptic pruning. That's when that synapse that's been connected together, literally, we'll see it on scans, it literally disappears. And it's pretty fascinating. And given that, I wish I could download all the research I've been able to be a part of, because when you see that on a scan, that control that we're after as entrepreneurs, right? That desire to be the best, that desire to create solutions to problems that no one else ever has, that desire, we tend to be highly driven, highly controlled people because that's the way we're making differences in the world. When you see that and you realize how much control you've been given with this beautiful system that we have, it's so empowering to know that like you never have to choose to advocate for anything that holds you back ever again.
Mm. Do you show that? Do you show like a before and after like scan? That'd be so cool to see that.
I do. And I could even like, I could get a clip for you that you could put on the show notes page.
That'd be great.
Pretty powerful. I'd love to see it myself. Yeah, it's powerful stuff because, and on the flip side of that, my favorite part of the whole thing, like getting rid of those, it's vital. It's the work. If you don't do it, it will block you. But on the flip side, and I know you and I read a lot of the same books in this sense, the placebo effect, you know, your brain does not know the difference. Now, I came at it from a scientific perspective, but the reality is it confirms everything we read in those realms too, because it really does not know the difference between what is real physically around us and what is vividly imagined. Where I feel like sometimes that gets sold short are like, you know, I'm just going to visualize and that will happen. Well, that's a little two dimensional. So your brain doesn't quite work like that. Mm-hmm. But that's why we developed this idea of brain priming, because it was in my time doing research. We I got to do a lot of research. I was never the head. I was always the one running around with clipboards, but getting to be in the room. So yay. But we did studies with pianists where we had two different groups of pianists. And this has been replicated so many times now, but we had one group had never played the scales, learn them on the physical keys. Another group never had played the scales, brain prime, basically learn this process. It's a more of a three-dimensional or very tactile process of letting the brain see it. We scanned their brains before, we scanned their brains after. Before, we could see there was no learned memory. The memory section of the brain didn't have any. And then after, both groups had learned memory. So we knew they knew it, they learned it, which is amazing because they never touched the keys. The part that always blew me away, and I'm just having this flashback of being the only geeky, like excited person in the room while the scientists were all like, you know, this is the hypothesis. I'm like, this is so cool. But the people who primed it and never touched the keys actually performed better on the assessment than the people who actually learned on the piano.
So wait, so there was a group that was actually practicing on the piano.
Yeah.
Then there was another group who was running through it in their mind, essentially.
Through a brain priming process, yeah. And that group actually did it better. But my favorite one, and this is like, you know, this is what I want entrepreneurs to get excited about, because this is what you have available to you if you start to realize that inside out work, building your business from the inside out, is how you get the success that you want. We had, and I can't talk about who it was, but it was an Olympic athlete. We got to work with him in the lab. His coach came in and they agreed to do this experiment with brain priming with us. He wanted to tweak his swimming stroke. So it wasn't like he was learning a whole new stroke, but he was wanting to like move his arm, like initiate his arm differently. That's the only way I can explain it, which required growth of a muscle, a small twitch muscle to do that. So we had him in for 67 days. We taught his coach the methodology for priming. So his coach could be the one who did it because there was that trust and that bond. Mm-hmm. We scanned his brain before, just like the pianist. There was no learned memory there yet. And we did a muscle conductivity test and knew that the muscle fiber growth in that small twitch muscle was like less than 3% or 4%, something, you know, because it's not a common one they use. And we did it for 67 days, never had touched the pool. We knew the learned center of the brain would be there because we'd done so many studies. We knew that that would probably take place. He never stepped in the pool, but that muscle grew 98%.
Holy cow.
And so
that's so cool.
That's like, think about that. Like, and we're not like building muscle, but yet we're like, this is something like, how do you expect to create what you want to create in the world if you actually haven't seen it? Like,
yeah,
you've got to allow your brain to see it first. And so that's a process that I take my clients through called brain priming. And it's something I always encourage all entrepreneurs to like start there. I put together an audio that helps people just listen to it, because the more you can like start to see that future vision or version of yourself and of your business and of what you want to create in the world, the faster your brain starts to believe that's what's real. And then other systems in the brain start to align with it. This part of our brain called the reticular activating system is like a gateway, right? It only allows in what aligns with your subconscious. So once you start feeding it that, it allows the gate to open for that to come in, where before it wasn't really visible, so it wouldn't let it in.
It's so fascinating.
Yeah, right?
So, because I want to make sure that people check out your stuff, can you kind of also kind of sum up? So I can see people listening right now and they're like, okay, I'm starting to get this.
Yeah.
Now, two different things. Number one, they're just like, tell me what it means to be like, all right, the success of my business is going to be coming from the inside out.
Right.
Now, we've been talking about all of that, but like from a, you know, if there's like a kind of a step-by-step thing that they should do, but also there's also people that know they want to grow their business, but they're not super clear on exactly what that end goal looks like, if you will, of the business they're trying to create.
Right.
Let's start there. What would you say to that person who isn't quite clear?
Yeah, I love this question because, you know, there are different people in different levels. There's, you know, us crazy visionaries, like we see 70 years past and we can do that. A lot of people can't. So we do what's called a bridging process. So it's not like, you might not be able to imagine the done business, but can you imagine if it was successful for a year, what would that look like? and start there. And even if they're like, oh, I don't know my niche. I don't really know, you know, how do I know? Okay, well, even if you don't know your niche, you know a problem you want to solve. And so can you imagine what it was like if 1,000 people had that solution and life changed? Can you go to that place on the bridge? Mm. And if you can, you stay there for a while until that becomes like so normal and comfortable. Okay, well, now what's next? Because then your brain starts to see, oh, that's what's going to happen. So then they are able to look beyond that and start to grow it even bigger.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's
definitely. So cool.
And because that comes up a lot, like we talk about like, well, you know, somebody was like, I want to make $1 million in the business.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole conversation, you know, you've heard, obviously, would love to hear your thoughts on this is like, all right, start acting like that 7-figure CEO now.
Right.
And they're like, well, I don't know. I get that conceptually, but I'm not a 7-figure CEO. So I don't know what that type of person does or what they believe and stuff like that. What would you say to that person?
I love that. And I know it's a model that you and I fully agree with is okay. So let's a couple different ways I could take this. I'll make it more simple. There's a way of being that you can try to start to reverse engineer. So if you were a 7-figure entrepreneur, what kind of things do you think you'd be doing? What kind of things do you think you'd not be doing? That's the thing. Like they'll just, because their brain wants to keep them safe. Well, I don't know. I've never been a 7-figure entrepreneur before, so I don't know what to do. I'll just,
and it's dismissed right
there. It's just let go. Yep. So that then questions and open loop questions are your best friend because your brain has to solve them. That's how our brains are set up. Your brain hates an open loop. And you know this, right? Like anytime somebody answers a question, like, and leaves it open, you feel like you need to answer. And that's coming from the brain structure. It wants that solution. So, you know, what does in your mind, I know you've never been one before, but if you were like just imagining, what kind of things do you think you'd be doing? Do you think you'd be doing everything yourself? Or do you think you might have some people helping you do things that, you know, maybe could give you more time. So, you know, it's just talking through it with yourself. Well, what wouldn't you be doing? Well, I probably wouldn't be doing it all alone. And I probably would be on the camera telling my potential client what I do, right? Mm-hmm. So you start to create this list of ways of being and doing and having that somebody that is there already potentially could. And then you start to try those things on.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of practice. Okay, if that's how they're being, my favorite is interview people who are where you want to be, you know, especially like your mastermind people, they've got you, like they should be, tell me, you know, they should be asking that question. Like, okay, you know, can we follow you around? And I know that's not what you want, but like, just like, what are those things that you absolutely do now that you didn't do before? Then I don't know about you, but most of the people in our industry are really open with talking about like, this is
totally
what it is. So, but here's the difference. If you really want that thing, if you really want that 7-figure business, and of course I would dive into like, what does that really even mean for you? Right.
Yes,
and want to go down that rabbit trail. But the reality is if you really want it, we have this kind of delusion that it just should fall in our lap somehow. Right. And the reality is like, you can observe, even if you can't have a conversation with somebody that's at the level you want to get to, just by observing them and mirroring and mimicking their behaviors. Again, you won't be able to see everything. There's stuff under the surface that you won't be able to see, but you'll start to feel what it feels like to be that. And then if you stay there and you start to shift because your state of being is shifting and your brain is starting to believe something different, then you start to level up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because I have the privilege of having the podcast, one of the questions I've asked some of the amazing human beings that have come on, you know, we talk strategy, we talk tactic, we talk all that stuff, but I always ask them, you know, what is the biggest thing that you've had to get over in your mind in order to have the business that you have? And hands down, every single time, it's I actually had to believe it first and then start acting in the way that I believed until it finally came to happen.
And this is a weird way to finish this.
Okay.
But you talking about that like really brings up something for me is, you know, the whole overcoming the whole I'm not enough and all that stuff. And that shakes confidence, right?
Yes.
And You know, I'll never forget, and Matt, my editor, can edit this out, but I'm going to swear right now just as a, just because I don't normally on the podcast. But, you know, my wife, I'll never forget, my wife told me a couple of years ago, standing in the kitchen of our first place that we moved into when we got to San Diego, is that she said, you know what? The only one that doesn't understand how awesome you are is you.
Yeah.
And that is something that has obviously always stuck with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is part of the transparency. It's just like, I think more conversations like this need to be had, right? Yeah. And that it is so much the success of our, of what we're doing and building is so much of coming from inside.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, as you know, I can talk tactics and strategies and funnels and ads and all this stuff until, you know, forever, but it starts with the inside stuff, the mindset stuff.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of put a nice bow on this? Because we've talked about a ton of stuff. Like, and we could talk about this for hours. I love this stuff.
Me too.
let's kind of tie this up. Like what, like what's kind of like a, you know, if someone's like, all right, Shannon, just tell me one thing to go do that can start me on this path of, you know, learning that the success of my business is truly coming from the inside out.
Yeah. So I'll tell you one thing and then I'll give you a resource. So here's the thing, like when we think about growing our business, right? When we, at the end of the day, really start figuring out why we want to, yes, you want to have $1 million business. Yes, you want to have impact. But when you really, really sit down and like distill it down, you distill it down to, I want to have freedom and I want to be able to do whatever I want to do. And I want to feel happy and I want to feel right. So that it comes from this impact and it ultimately ends up being the state of being.
Yeah.
And yet we're spending 80 to 90% of our time in a state of doing and wondering why it's not working.
Mm.
And the reality is that state of being is available to you now, but you have to choose it. And you have to really get as passionate as you are about making a difference in the world. I would love for you to get as equally passionate about being the creator of your thoughts so that you can get there.
Mm. Mm. I love it.
So, but one of the tools, I'll give you a tool. So, because the biggest objection, I kept getting this objection. Yeah, that sounds great. I want to do that. I want to do that. What's the next strategy and webinar? Like, it was just like right. this. That's how we're wired. I get it. Yeah. I'm totally that way too. So I created this AM and PM brain priming because there are, as entrepreneurs, because my DNA has been that since 19 is when I started my first business. So I get the things we struggle with and what we're up against and those big things after working with so many entrepreneurs now. So I created, and you don't even, you just have to hit play on it. It's something you listen to at AM, something you listen to in the PM. And literally I've had people do nothing else with me other than that resource and get rid of some of the things that are blocking them. And one gal messaged me and said, I've been listening for a week. My business just hit $200,000 and I haven't seen that kind of money ever.
That's awesome.
And it was only because of that one belief. So we think we're like Grand Canyon away from having the mindset or the money mindset or what we need. And the reality is just like the gold in California, you're probably this close, you know, just a quarter inch. And so this is a resource. You know, we can give you the link to it or we can create a, you know, Dr. Shannon Irvin /Rick and have people get it.
100%.
That's the baby toe in the water. So if you're listening to us and you're like, that's what's been getting in my way. And like, if you found yourself nodding with Rick and I like the whole time, then get your toe in the water, like start to do this work and start to see the impact that it has when you actually do create the business that you want from the inside out.
I love it. What is that link? Because I want it myself.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to go download it.
Yeah. So let's, I'm sure she's got it together by now, but drshannonirvin.com/Rick. That way we know they're all your people. And
awesome.
Yeah, grab it. And I hope it blesses you and I hope it builds your brain so you can really do amazing things in the world.
That's amazing. So guys, drshannonirvin.com/Rick. I'll link it up in the show notes for the episode here today. Also, where can people connect with, I want them to check out your podcast, Instagram, and then I do really want to finish off mentioning your nonprofit as well.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I'm at Dr. Shannon Irvin anywhere on the interwebs. Hang out in the gram mostly. So if you want to message me over there, that's great. And the podcast is Epic Success Podcast.
Epic success. Awesome. Yeah. And your nonprofit, I didn't know you even had this until I saw you at Brandon Lucero's event a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And you had this table of pictures and I was like, what's going on? I asked you about it. And at Brandon's event, he was raising money for the nonprofit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ended up quote unquote adopting, you know, a Herbert is his name.
Yeah.
And I remember texting a picture. I took a picture of the card with him on it and I texted to my wife and my wife literally was, I just said, we had just adopted quote unquote this kid and explained to her the situation. And she was like literally crying. Aww. She's just like, I can't, you know, I'm so happy that you just did that. And we just got the letter in the mail from the organization to write him a letter, and which I'm so excited about doing. So tell us about this nonprofit that you have.
Yeah. So we founded that and about 15 years ago, and we work with kids who have lost mom and dad to AIDS in rural Uganda, Africa. And we started with two kids, Daniel and Dorcas, back then. And we continue to get sponsors here for them there. And it basically helps them get back to school. We hire a widow to move into the home with them to help their, you know, childhood restore, get it restored and get them healthcare. But mostly what it does is it allows them to start to realize that like someone across 7,000 miles knows I'm alive and I exist. Yeah. And that does so much to that little child's soul. Like, you know, they've been through hell on earth watching their parents be taken from this disease. And it's just a labor of love. You know, to me, kids, and especially those kids, are the future. Entrepreneurs, they're the future. These are, they're very smart, talented human beings that have been dealt a pretty brutal hand. And, you know, when we go in as you're like a 14-year-old caring for five younger kids and they all dropped out of school and they're having to become adults. And this just gives us a chance to help them return to childhood and help them grow up to be self-sufficient, really independent humans. And it's just, it's a joy. We started with two. We've helped over 1,000, or I think we're almost 1,100
really
kids to date.
That's and so awesome.
It's fun. We try to take them just like, you know, we would want our own kids. Yeah. So in the beginning, like I did it like a typical wrong thing to do. You know, I gave them money and gave them too much. But as we grew and learned and really worked with the locals, we really do try to create this sense of they're not dependent on us. We have lots of just different things that we do, like coffee growing and just lots of entrepreneurial things. I'm an entrepreneur that started a nonprofit, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So my desire for them is to see that they're capable, that they're enough, right?
Yeah.
And that they have what it takes and that they can change their own country from the inside out as well.
That's so cool. So if people want to learn more about that, where can, should they just connect with you via the same thing, Instagram?
Sure. And we're at mosaicvision.org. So they can certainly go see if there's a child that's available for sponsorship there too. But that's definitely where to find us there.
Okay, cool. Mosaicvision.org. You can also, guys, message Shannon on Instagram. Let her know that you heard the interview on the podcast here and, you know, get more information. But either way, definitely connect with what Shannon's got going on. Amazing stuff here. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. Yeah, I'm literally thinking as you were talking there, I'm like, my energy right now is just like leveled up.
Oh,
like
I'm just, awesome.
I feel lighter. Like I said, I can talk about this stuff forever. So thank you for coming on and sharing your brilliance. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Hey, don't forget, if you're an online expert, in other words, you're a course creator, you're a coach, consultant, online educator, you've already achieved a certain level of success, but you're now spinning your wheels to get your business to the next level. You're stuck right now. You want to break through six figures, maybe multiple six figures, seven figures. Then I want to invite you to apply for my 6-month Accelerator Mastermind. Kicks off in January. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, just to be clear, this is not simply a Facebook ads mastermind. This is your one-stop shop for cohesive growth coaching to help you take your online business to the next level. It's application only. And if you want to apply, go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. Again, it's rickmulready.com/accelerator. Coming up on the podcast, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way. Cannot wait to share that one with you. Thank you so much for listening today. Super appreciate you. I'll see you right back here for the next episode on the Art of Online Business podcast.
Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about five simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions, but what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.